James, those are fighting words. I love that song. And you ask how it fits into what I'm going to talk about? I'm going to talk about marriage. But I'm not talking about fighting in marriage. I'm talking about fighting for marriage. And that God, my groom, and his church, the bride, we need to fight for our marriage. And as tough as it might be, as jaded as you might be toward marriage, young people, I know your generation is. People wait to get married, sometimes never getting married. But it is worth fighting for. And I want to talk about a subject that I feel really passionate about. My subject is embracing marriage. You know, as we talked as a leadership team about what should our theme be for this year. And out of that cabin weekend, our theme for this year is embracing relationships. And I was sort of thinking about that. That's sort of redundant, isn't it? Embracing. Now, I could use a hug. I mean, there's a lot of things that have happened in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. I've been on a constant go, and I could use a big hug. So I'm just going to give myself one right now. Just doesn't work. Doesn't work. Embracing relationships, that's the same thing. In order to embrace something, you need to have a relationship. So that is our theme, and the first one in that theme is embracing marriage. Now, I know you guys aren't married yet, but you need to start embracing marriage. I got to spend last week I was with Austin and his wonderful fiance, Amy. We were doing marriage counseling together down in South Carolina. And, you know, marriage is really cool. When you see the strengths of one mesh with the weaknesses or strengths of the other, it's a fun thing to watch. And to see a couple madly in love was pretty cool. Looking forward to your wedding in a month, so. Marriage is something that is certainly not embraced in our culture. Even within the broader church, I don't know how much marriage is embraced. Divorce among Christians is just slightly above the slightly below the national average. And because of that, it has soured many people to what God had intended. The church needs to be a light. We need to know who stands with us and before us and who is faithful. We need to mirror the relationship of a bride, the church, and the groom, our Heavenly Father, Jesus, our Heavenly Father, to those around us. This relationship is vital in our churches and is also very vital in our society. As marriage has declined, so too has our society. Without strong marriages, our churches and our society will crumble. Now, I'm preaching to the church this morning, but I want you to really think about your relationship with your spouse or youth, your relationship with that future spouse. What's that going to look like? And why would you get married in the first place? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26. Says this, then God said, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. One of the things that we're called to do in a marriage is to reflect God's image. Did you ever notice when there's a bride and groom getting married? You know, on the one side, you got this long line of guys all dressed up in their suits. And they're big and they're tall. And you can just see the strength on this side. They got their chest puffed out because they're standing in front of people. And over on this side, you got a lovely set of girls. And you see their beauty. And strength and beauty come together, and it forms an incredible bond. I love that. But do you ever think about how that reflects God's image? God's strength and his incredible power on one side, but yet on the other side, you see God's image as well, the incredible beauty of a woman and God's beauty and how he can create beauty out of just a mess in our lives. If I were to ask you, just call it out to you, this is a little different than a husband, but what makes a good father? What do you like about your dad? Maybe it can be youth as well. What makes a good dad? Approachable. I hope there's more than this. Come on. We need some encouragement. Gentle strength. Good. Connection. Okay.
Someone who loves their mother.
Someone who loves their mother. Yeah. Secure and protected. Yeah. These are qualities that really need that really have value for a husband as well. You have that connectedness. You have that approachableness. So, guys, what did you really appreciate about your mom? This shouldn't be hard.
Caring.
What's that?
Caring.
Good listener.
Sweet.
I like that. Believes in you. She always had time for me. You know, wives, those are great qualities as well for your husband. I love that. So we see, but really what those qualities are just the image of God. Have you ever seen in a marriage when the image of God was not reflected? Instead of having connectedness, you have brokenness. Instead of being loving, there's just bitterness. You know, I wish I could say that was just outside of these walls, but everyone in us in this room has been closed or shut down by their spouse. That I can guarantee you at some point. We also see some other characteristics of God. You know, on the one side you see leadership and then you see support. What God means to me, the way he has led me through some difficult things, I will always appreciate that. But another quality that I really appreciate about God as well is his support, his care for me when I'm struggling. We also see toughness and tenderness. You know, when I get out of line, God brings consequences into my life. There's toughness there. Or on the other side, there's tenderness, grace when I make a mistake as well. We can also see judging and grace. You know, as a child, when I was about to be, when I did something wrong, which was very few times, I wanted to go to my mother. But I soon learned that that wasn't exactly the best place to go either, because she was going to send me somewhere else, and that was to my father. And he had a great way of correcting me. Reflecting the image of God, reflecting God's image is very important in a relationship with a husband and a wife. The second thing that we're called to do is found in Malachi 2:15 and 16. It says this, and this is a different translation, but it says, "Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? He seeks children of God. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth." I think this is twofold. I think God wants a relationship with us so that we can become his children. But he also wants us in a godly marriage. It helps produce godly offspring. I'm not going to talk a lot about the family and what a mom and a dad can accomplish, but it is incredible what a husband and wife team, when they are tuned into becoming children of God, what they can accomplish. James, how important is a mom and a dad to a child? It's incredible. I'm asking him because of his connection with kids at Bridge. It is incredible, husbands and wives, the gift that you give to your children when you do it well. The third purpose of marriage is that we would help our spouse reflect God's image. Actually, this is the reason you get married. It's not because you feel an incredible attraction to that person. It's not because you have great chemistry with each other. It's not that you do it because you love them incredibly. Well, what happens if that's the reason you're getting married, for those reasons? What happens when you don't feel like you love that person anymore? What happens when that chemistry isn't there that you thought you had? What then? That's not the reason you get married. The reason is that you can show that you can reflect Christ's image in your spouse. Here's how this works. All of us that are married at some point or another have been closed down by our spouse. I mentioned that earlier. At that point, are you reflecting Christ's image in your spouse? Does your spouse at that point really feel like they're honoring God and just worshiping him? No, it's not how it works. But when you can open up your spouse and to hear her dreams or to hear her expectations and to love her and to care for her, your relationship with God grows too. I would say this, when your relationship with God is poor, your relationship with your spouse doesn't go so well either. It's very important in a marriage to reflect Christ's image, or let your spouse's image reflect Jesus Christ's love. The fourth thing then is to show Christ to others. Says this, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." There's a really powerful phrase after this. Listen, "By your love, by this all men will know that you are my disciples." Do you see how important a loving relationship in marriage is? It says, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples," when you love each other. So church, I'm asking you, in your marriage relationship, you need to love each other because it is a witness to the world around us. People long for a loving relationship. People are longing to see that. I would really encourage you as you go through your marriage that you would minister to other people together. Do you know how powerful a husband and wife team is when they minister together? It's incredible what a husband and wife can do when they love each other and love the Lord. So that's the purpose of marriage. I'd like to move on to the pitfalls of marriage. And if you would just, Carl, just display that. One of the pitfalls of marriage is leadership and control. Leadership and control. What I have back here is called the crazy cycle. And youth, you're going to laugh at this because you probably haven't experienced yet. But the people on this side of the room know what I'm talking about. So without love, she reacts. And without respect, he reacts. Now, my question is, which is first, the cart or the horse? I don't know how you jump onto this crazy cycle or who put you on this crazy cycle. Here's how it works. Women need love. Men need respect. And this fleshes out in some crazy ways. That's why it's called the crazy cycle. Some crazy ways you get on here. And you start arguing. Let's just use an example. So, if my wife would say something that I didn't feel I was respected by that, my reaction is going to be not love, but defense. Okay? And I'm going to say, I might get angry, and I'm going to come back and say something that isn't not exactly loving for sure. Well, then that hurts her need for love, and it intensifies. And you get on this hamster spinning cycle, and it's pretty hard to jump off. You have to really make a conscious decision to get off. And sometimes when you jump off, you fall because it's spinning so fast. So that's a crazy cycle. Just keep that in mind as we go through this section. So leadership and control is a pitfall in marriage. For the guys, leadership is a pitfall. There's two ways that men fail at leadership. One, they don't lead at all. And the second, they lead with an iron fist. So what are we supposed to do? Well, there's a middle ground there, guys. Okay? I'm not looking for passive leaders. Although that's my tendency, believe it or not. When I get on this cycle and my respect button gets pushed a little bit, I tend to flight. I tend to retreat from the pain and I don't engage anymore. Well, so I'm not arguing, right? That's good. No, not really. Because what happens when I retreat, it still doesn't fill my wife's need for love to know that I'm attentive to her. And that can be a real problem on this cycle. So I just sit there and don't say anything and paint lollipops. The problem doesn't go away. We can be out there for 3 hours. And if I don't say anything, the problem doesn't go away. But I think I'm all righteous because I'm not arguing. But it doesn't fill her need for love. So, guys, way too often we become passive with our leadership. And it's not just in our relationship with our wife, but it's how we do things spiritually. It's how we, I'll say this about myself. I feel I can lead, but the place where I struggle with the most is leading my wife spiritually as well. For ladies, control is an issue. I, I'm going to say this, that I'm trying to understand you ladies, and I'm on your side when I say this. I'm glad I'm not a lady and have to give in to my leadership. You hearing what I'm saying? I think that would be tough for me to do, to give in to someone else's leadership. So thank you for what you do with that with your husbands. But what happens when a woman controls the husband, I think it tends to push the man into more passivity and less leadership. But it's really hard. That control thing is really hard, because you're a human being. You have an opinion. But when it gets out of whack, it really contributes to this cycle. The second pitfall of marriage is communication. 1 Corinthians 13:12, I'm going to turn to that real quickly, you don't have to, says this. It's in the love chapter. For now we see only reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And the part I want to focus on is, do you fully know your wife? And that's part of the communication process that I want to talk about. Ladies, did you ever notice that men don't hear very well? Did you ever notice that? Oh, come on. Men don't hear very well, do they? You say something and they didn't hear it. I don't know what that's all about. But I think, guys, we got to do a better job of listening. Because sometimes that listening part puts you back on this crazy cycle. Because you're doing your thing and she's talking to you, and you might miss an important appointment because you aren't listening. Communication is a mortar that holds a relationship together. If communication breaks down, the relationship will crumble when spouses no longer communicate. The marriage nurtures no one. I want to say this. Silence really stinks in any relationship. Did you ever notice when you're silent how a problem gets bigger? When you don't talk about it, it gets really big. When you don't talk about it for 2 months, it gets bigger. Elaine, I know you're a counselor. One of your jobs is to get people to talk. Silence is a bad thing, right? Sometimes. But it can make a problem really big when you don't communicate with your spouse. When men speak, it's a problem to be solved, right? When men speak, we need to make a point. Or maybe it's a decision that needs to be made. Or maybe something that needs fixed. We need to make those points. You know, do you ever wonder why guys can easily talk about the Eagles or a football team? Okay, so there's a problem to be solved. They don't have any wide receivers. There's a point that needs to be made. They got to do better in the draft. Or a decision to make. Or something that needs to be fixed. They need to fix this. It's easy to talk about sports because that's all in our realm. And we tend to take, and that's great for man-to-man talk, but that's not what a woman is really looking for. They're just looking to listen. When a woman speaks, they want to discover how they're feeling and share the info. And this is a really tough one for me, that women have to talk to figure out how they feel. But I've seen it. They want to talk about problems. They want to identify what it is they want to say. I don't understand God sometimes in this whole marriage relationship. Why do you make us so different? But when you get it right, it really is rewarding to see the weaknesses that I have are strengths from my wife. It is really a blessing for me to be in the relationship that I'm in. With this whole communication thing, just because you're talking with each other doesn't mean that you're communicating. Take this for an example. You know, here's one that I struggle with. I can talk with my wife, like I can talk with her about business all day long. I can talk about schedules. I can talk about who's on duty that week. I can talk about what we're going to make that week. I can talk about even finances. I can talk about all those things. I just want to give you a caution, guys. Don't confuse communication with administration. There's a difference, okay? I can talk about my kids, my job, whatever, but that's not exactly communication. It's part of it. But a woman wants to be heard and to be listened to just for who she is. So a third pitfall that we find in marriages is finances. It's a big pitfall. And young people, I would just really challenge you to make hard decisions right now, because some of the decisions you make right now are going to affect your marriage down the road. You may think, oh, I want a $25,000 truck. Well, that has consequences down the road. I want a latte every day. That has consequences down the road. You know, it's really hard in a marriage when you have a financial burden all the time. Verse in Proverbs says this, the borrower is servant to the lender. When you are a servant to the lender, guys, I think you can identify, when you have debt, when you have just an oppressive amount of financial responsibility, what happens? You work harder. You try and dig out of the hole, and you keep digging and digging and digging. But what gets missed? It's your wife. It's your wife gets missed. So my challenge to you guys is sometimes you got to make really hard decisions to make your marriage better in the financial world. So what would it look like to cut back a couple hours, but you might have to sacrifice something over here to pay the bills, or maybe you have to give up something. So financial things can cause a great amount of friction in a marriage. I'm going to move on to some of the perks of marriage. If I would say this, love and respect, when those two are going hand in hand, husband loving the wife, the wife respecting the husband, that equals relationship. Embracing relationship. So this is a totally different type of cycle. Same two people, much different results. So when I show my love to my wife, it motivates her. It motivates her, but then she gives me respect. But that motivates my love. It's funny how it works. It's pretty simple, really. It's just a couple words up there, right? It's pretty simple. When I love, it motivates her respect, but it also motivates my love. And we find ourselves at a much better spot. Okay, you saw the crazy cycle. Which feels better? That's a no-brainer. So how do you spell love to your wife, guys? Number one is closeness. She wants to feel loved. She wants to be close to you. Not necessarily physically, she just wants you to be there, present. Genesis 2:24 says this, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh." The word cleave, and I like this word, it means to cling, to hold on to keep close. She wants to connect spiritually. She wants to connect emotionally. She wants face-to-face involvement. She wants you to hold her hand. She wants you to hug her. She wants you to be affectionate without strings attached. She wants to be alone with you so you can laugh with each other. The second thing that she wants is openness. She wants you to open up with her. Women are very expressive and they're responsive. They like to talk about things. They like to discuss problems. Third thing is understanding. Sometimes a woman just wants you to listen to her, and we talked about that already. Instead of giving her the solution, just hold her and understand her. Peacemaking is another thing. The only way that I know of to get off the crazy cycle is forgiveness. It's the only way I know of. You can do some pretty bad stuff. You can hurt her pretty badly. I don't recommend it. But forgiveness gets you off that cycle. True forgiveness. It's the only way to jump off. Peacemaking is what she wants. She doesn't want to fight. She wants peace. She also wants loyalty. She needs to know that you're committed. Guys, it's a big thing to a lady to know that you're committed. No questions asked. You're faithful to her. You know, sometimes when things are hard, you may say something that you don't want to say, like, "I don't even know why I married you," or something like that. Don't even put that in your brain. She needs to know that you're loyal to her. And the sixth thing that she wants is esteem. She wants you to honor and to cherish her. If I would have a $10,000 vase up here, I don't know if I'd set it here. I might set it on a more pillowed chair because I don't want to break it. It's so easy, guys, for us to break our wives. You got to realize they're a valuable treasure, but you can shut them down with your words and how you relate to her. So what is it for the guys? How do guys feel love? The acrostic I would use is CHAIRS. Actually, for the wife, if you would use the word couple, that works for those six things I just did. CHAIRS would be the acrostic I'm going to use for the guys. Conquest, and this has to do a lot with work. You know, wives, if you want to love your husband, appreciate what they do. Actually, get involved with what they do as best you can. Sometimes that's not possible, but be interested in what they're doing in work and appreciate that desire. The second thing is hierarchy. Appreciate his desire to provide and protect you. God has built into every man a desire to protect and provide for his family. Now, I will say this, that today's generation of man, we're losing that, the provide and protect thing. And I don't know why that is. There could be a number of reasons. But men have become extremely passive in this area to provide and protect. So hierarchy would be the second way that a man feels loved, just to appreciate his desire to protect and provide. The third thing is his authority. Appreciate his desire to serve and lead. That means a lot to a guy. It's not always easy being a leader. Whether it's in your home, whatever it is, appreciate his desire to serve and lead and to support him in that. The fourth thing is insight. Appreciate his desire to analyze and counsel. I just thought of this now, so I didn't give it much thought, but I'm a closet doctor. Like, if my kids are sick, I can tell you exactly what they have. And that doesn't always go well with my RN wife. I don't know what this has to do with that, but just appreciate a man's opinion. It's hard to get shut down when you have again, forget that illustration. It didn't make any sense at all. But appreciate your wife's desire or your husband's desire to make a good decision. I have been extremely blessed when I'm unsure about a decision I had to make, and my wife comes up to me and says, "Wow, you really did good with that." That means the world to a guy. So that was the fourth one, was insight. Number five is relationship. Now, it said that women like face-to-face, men like shoulder-to-shoulder. It's great when my wife just comes down and sits beside me, and maybe she's reading a book, but she's there. I like that. It's okay to do nothing together. Maybe read a book or something like that. That's a good way for a guy to feel loved. I would also say this, you know, in that relationship, his desire for that shoulder-to-shoulder thing, it doesn't always have to be the problems that you dealt with. Sometimes a guy just needs some time to get in that nothing box, which we're so adept at doing. We don't need as much time as we give ourselves, but it's a good thing to have that time just shoulder to shoulder. Number six, the S in the acrostic chairs. I don't think I have to talk about that in this context this morning, but those of you who are married know what I'm talking about. It's that sexual relationship with each other. And it's a good thing. I can't tell you how important and how wonderful that is in a marriage relationship. And I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but it's a way that a man feels loved as well. So we went a few places. There's so much more to cover in this world of marriage. I've been married to my wonderful wife for 25 years. Doesn't seem that long. But 25 years is a long time. My father and mother, 62? One? 61 years. Do you have it all figured out yet? I know, yeah, that's a true statement there. You said close. That in itself makes me want to stay married and to honor my wife and to communicate with her in itself right there. So how do I wrap this up? You know, you really can't do love and respect unless you do it as unto Christ. And if you doubt the reality of Christ, He is not truly Lord of your life, and it's not going to work. We may fall, but we can get up. The difference, I would say, between successful couples and unsuccessful couples is that successful couples keep getting up and keep dealing with issues and forgiving each other. There's no way you can go through a marriage without having issues. None. But the successful ones keep getting up time after time. And then just a way to deal with issues, I would just say this. John 15:5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that song that you led, James and Carla, just spoke into that. That God is there. He is ever by my side. The one who stands before me. He's the God of angel armies. You know, sometimes in a marriage, you may be at a spot where you just got to call down the angel armies of God. And you got to fight for your marriage. And you know you got to change things. You know you got to make something different. Something has to happen. I just want to encourage you that God is right there by your side. So when you think of marriage, it is the cornerstone of our society. When it fails, families fail. Moral codes fail. And we end up in chaos. Church, it's time to fight for your marriage. If you're struggling in your marriage, don't do it alone. There's counselors who have been called by God to step into a situation that you might be really struggling with, and it can make a real difference. Don't go it alone. If you're on that crazy cycle, and that crazy cycle has gotten bigger than a Ferris wheel, you need to talk to somebody to get help. Talk to Doug or myself, and we can put you in the right place. But don't go it alone. You got to start fighting for your marriage because it's worth fighting for. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for marriage and that incredible gift that you've given to us. I want to specifically thank you for my wife and for the support that she's been, for the love that she has given, for her respect that she has given to me over the years. And Lord, I just pray for each man in this room that we would step up and we would lead our spouse. We would lead our families, and each wife that they would give the support that is so vital for a man to function. I pray this in your name. Amen.